We greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. It really is good to be here and worship again with you this morning. Feels like it's been quite a long time. And we are glad to be here again, even if it's just for very briefly here. This is for a message this morning. I'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians also, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Just read a little bit there at the beginning here to get us what I'd like to think about. Take a a phrase from verse 7 here. And I'd like to read just now, later we're going to read the whole chapter, but just for now I'd like to read part of verse 6 and part of verse 7. It says, "Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump as ye are unleavened." And I'd like to think this morning about purging out the leaven in our lives, the attitudes. And we talked about our speech in Sunday school and what not to say. And I'd like to think in our heart what this morning, what affects our speech and the way we talk and the thoughts of our heart that affect what we are going to be saying. First of all, thinking about what leaven is, and I don't know if I'm real qualified to speak on this, but leaven, as we mostly know, at least today, is usually yeast, and it's something that is used to ferment food, and we think our mind goes to baking bread, but it's also used in alcoholic beverages and things like that. But leaven is a fungus, and so it's a living something that is alive, and you take it and you add it to bread dough, and as I understand it, it takes and it changes the composition of that and turns some of the sugars into carbon dioxide, and that makes air pockets that make things expand and makes it softer. And there's certain ingredients that we also add to the bread that make the grease, the yeast reproduce faster. And I didn't ask my wife, or I didn't ask Jeff, what percentage of the bread dough recipe is yeast, but I'm under the impression that's a very small percentage of what you put into that bowl, the mixing bowl or the mixer, when you were getting ready to make bread. And but yet that little part affects the whole batch that you are making. And because of those properties, the leaven is seen as in the scripture and given to us as a type of sin and its effects on our life, and also as it affects our life, as it affects the church, and how the sin, this one little area of sin in my life, affects my whole life. I can't make compartments and one part of my life is just over here and the rest is clean, but it affects our whole relationship with God, and it contaminates our whole being. And thinking of sourdough bread as well, I understand that you can make sourdough bread by just exposing the dough to the air, and it eventually collects the yeast out of the air, and you have leavened bread. You have the same effect. And I think of the people that we surround ourselves with and the people that we rub shoulders with from the world and our friends, the exposure that sin can have, or the exposure to ourselves of critical influences on our lives, the effect that has on my life. And I'd like to go back to the account of the Passover, where God delivered his people from Egypt, and think of the types of sin and our bondage and of us being in bondage to sin and our deliverance from sin. Turn to Exodus chapter 12. Egypt is given to us as a type of sin, and the bondage in Egypt is a type of bondage to the world. And I'd like to think about that as we think of the children of Israel, the people of God, being in bondage to Egypt, to the world, and their inability to escape that on their own power. And if you read history back then, Moses, when he was 40 years of age, he had tried on his own strength to deliver the people from bondage, and it had not worked. But here we have God preparing to deliver his people from Egypt. I'd like to begin reading. I'm not going to read the whole account here, but I'd like to begin reading in verse 15 of Exodus 12. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth unleavened bread from the first day into the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread, until the 21st day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses, for whosoever eateth that which is leaven, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations shall ye eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord shall pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when ye become to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is a sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians, and delivered and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away, and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So did they. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh arose up in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not an house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night, and said, rise up, and get you forth among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go and serve the Lord, as ye have said. And also take your flocks and your herds, as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we be all dead men. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. I'll stop there. God preparing to deliver his children, his people, from the bondage of sin. And I think this is all very familiar to us, as as they had been through the nine plagues, and now God was ready to deliver them. Before we think of one another thing about leaven is that it's something that took time. The leavened bread took time for the yeast to rise, and it tied them in a sense to the land of Egypt. And we have God preparing them, and that was the first thing it did, was it made them ready to leave at a moment's notice. And I think of us as being strangers and pilgrims here, that we are not tied to the world, and that we are not bound to them, that we are free to go and do God's bidding as he calls us do. Another thing it did for them was it set up, this was one of their most important holidays, the Feast of the Passover, where they remembered where blood was shed for their deliverance from sin. And it was a time that they remembered that every year. And I think that's important for us as well, that we, and we do that in our communion services, that we remember what Christ did for us and the sacrifice that was made for on our behalf so we had deliverance from sin. And that is what also was pointing them forward to Christ and the sacrifice that he made as well. And the one requirement, if they wanted the blood of the Lamb to protect them from death, was the removal of leaven from their houses. And so they took that very seriously. You read that, and the people went through and they cleaned their house of leaven. And as I understand, in Jewish culture from then on, they took this very seriously. And I understand they still do to this day. And before the Feast of the Passover, the father will take the family and they'll go through the house. And they would take a candle and they would look in all the corners. And they look through the clothes in the closet and they turn up the cushions on the couch. And they look through the kitchen cupboards and look at the utensils, and they wash the clothes. They have actually, it's where spring cleaning came from, is the Jewish holiday, from what I understand. And they thoroughly clean that house. And the interesting thing is, sometimes when we think of leaven in our lives, it's a chore. I'm getting rid of this. But they rejoice. They found a crumb under the couch. They rejoice. The leaven is gone from our house. And they are very conscious of that. And only those who remove that leaven from their house were delivered from death. And the same way, again, as we partake in communion, we remember the deliverance of sin in our lives. And God wants to lead us to deliverance. God's will and God, what God wanted to do for his people back here in the time of the Passover was he wanted to bring them from bondage and take them to the land of deliverance. And that is what God wants in my life and in yours today. It's not that he is out to make us go through the ritual of cleaning just for the sake of cleaning, but God wants to bring us to deliverance in our lives. And as we think about when we partake in communion, we examine ourselves to make sure that the leaven, that the impurities are cleaned out of our lives. And we need to take the time to look into the corners of our heart. It's not like the company's coming to the door and we quick take the sweeper and go through the middle of the living room. It's we search in all the corners and make sure that everything is clean. I'd like to think of us today a little more in our setting. I'd like to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and read that chapter. Beginning at verse 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of Christ. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Let us therefore keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in an epistle, not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with fornicators of this world, nor with covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters, for then must ye have needs gone out of the world. Maybe I'll stop reading there. The effect of leaven on on church life and the effect of one person's sin on the whole body, and the effect of leaven spreading through the the whole body. And there's a time for us as a church to look at sin in life, and we deal with sin, and that is very much commanded in this here. I think we need to be careful that we are not trying to ignore leaven and in our own hearts and looking at leaven that may be in someone else in the body. And I guess what I'm trying to say is our focus needs to be on ourselves first, that I'm looking in my heart and seeing what my effect is on the body. And we may think our sin is well hidden from other eyes that can't see, but we have just seen from what we read that sin affects the whole group. And you think of the example of Achan, how everything was good, nobody else knew anything about it, but the people of God were defeated in battle because there was sin in one man's tent in the camp. And as long as that sin was there, they were going to be defeated. And so we must, in each of our hearts, make sure that all the leaven is removed, and we must not tolerate any of that. And, you know, even the influence, if there is leaven, maybe a critical spirit, and we allow that to fester in our own hearts and lives, and the children, the friends that we allow our children to associate with, that has its effect on our lives, on our families. Think of some ways that leaven could be in my heart, in our heart. Verse 8 speaks of the leaven of malice. And I think of the critical spirit and envy. And what are the thoughts that we think toward others? How are we thinking about them, and what are we saying about them? Are we too critical of the way someone else does things? What am I allowing my mind to feed on? Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Also in verse 8 mentions wickedness, and I think that's the outworking of the thoughts of malice in our heart, the things that we do to get back at others. I'd like to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 14. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat doth the canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. Our speech and the words that we use, and we heard about that this morning, about how not to speak toward others. Is my speech upbuilding to others, or will it tear them down? And I think the way that we speak about others and to them is it shows what is in our hearts. And if our thoughts are negative, it will show up in our speech toward them. And many relationships and friendships have been ruined by harsh words. And when I speak critically, what is driving? What is in my heart that is driving that? Is it pride? Is it bitterness? If I am running someone down, is it because of pride I'm lifting myself up? Another thing, I think, as we saw in Sunday school, our speech has probably about as much or more potential than anything else that we have to either build someone up and encourage them, or to tear them down. And I have been, so I guess so we learn we don't talk. And what I have seen maybe more recently is, so we're not going to talk, but it's, I think it's become too easy for us to send texts and emails instead of going to the person and sharing our concerns. And I just like to share that concern, is what are we portraying with this? Is communicating in this way, is that because I am afraid to face this person face to face? A text allows me to send things that probably I wouldn't be brave enough to say to his face. And what I've said before is a text, you can't read the tone of voice either. And way too often it's misread and the situation becomes a lot worse than it was before. And I was thinking about, maybe this is getting a little bit off topic here, but I was thinking about the fire that we talked about in James 3. And the fire that is spread by the tongue. And as one of the persons that maybe has to hold the fire extinguisher, I was thinking about maybe a forester or somebody that works for the Forest Service. And their job is to put out fires, and it's also to replant and rebuild as well. And it's very frustrating to be spending way too much time with the fire extinguisher when we should be out cultivating new trees. I think also we need to think of our idle words as well, that our words are profitable. Along with that, I think of strife, verse 24 of the same chapter, and the servant of God must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patience. Is this an insistence on my way of thinking that my way is always better, and to be gentle, and that's something that I could do better in as well, to be gentle in my teaching to others. Like to just read quick Luke chapter 12, verse 1. Just the last part of the verse, Jesus teaching his disciples, and he said, Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Jesus warns numerous times about the leaven of the Pharisees, about being hypocrites. Trying to pretend that they were someone they were not. Trying to pretend by their good works and their actions and that they were trying to cover up what was going on in their hearts and trying to gain salvation by their outward expressions. And they either forgot or tried to ignore actually what was in their hearts and their inner attitudes. And today that's where we place the blame very quickly, is on people that are trying to portray an outward expression, but we wonder about their heart. And that's right. Well, that's the right way to label them, but that doesn't excuse us from doing the right things. Jesus did not condemn the things that they did, but the attitude of their hearts. He says, says that. And I believe hypocrisy is not limited to those that try to cover up their attitude by the way they dress. But it's any time that I portray myself as something that I am not. Any time that I want to portray myself as better than I actually am I not guilty of hypocrisy as well? And I think this even can come as far as we try to share our concerns in a way that looks spiritual, but really we're working around with a critical and bitter attitude in our hearts. And could it also be we go as far as using flattery to try to influence people in ways that benefit us? Matthew chapter 6. Verse Verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Think of our money and our wealth, and I think this can be leaven in our lives because it can become too important to us, and it binds us back to that world, that Egypt, that bondage that we are needing to be freed from. We must not let it worship be our worship before above our worship to a holy God. We had looked in verse 8 of 1 Corinthians 5 about malice, and in 1 Corinthians 11 it speaks of participating in communion with leaven or malice in our lives. And you know, to be free from this kind of thing, it takes openness. We cannot have things hidden in our hearts, in our lives. We need to be clean and live in complete victory, open before God and before man. Man sees our consistent life and testimony. I'd like to go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 21, the effects of a life that has had the leaven cleansed out of it. Verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Purged from the leaven that is in my heart and life. And God is wanting to bring us from bondage, bring us from to freedom from leaven our lives, to from bondage and to the promised land. And what he desires from us is not just to see us struggling with the leaven, but what he is desiring for us is that he would have vessels unto honor that he can use. And I'd like us to think about that. If there is leaven in my life, is that holding me back from service to God? I think that's a serious question that we need to think about. But what God wants out of my life and what God wants out of your life is a clean, open vessel that can be used in his service and be a benefit in the kingdom of God, and that the kingdom of God would grow and grow forward, and that as our churches would grow, young people would come, would grow up and see by our lives, here is something clean and attractive. And I think of just, a lot of people, and how we like to be clean, and you know, just how much better you feel after a shower on a day when you're sweaty, and how much you prefer to eat off of clean plates versus dirty ones. But the attractiveness of the life of Christ, attractiveness of a life that is clean and is pure, this testimony before God, that others would desire to have what my life is portraying as I live each day. May God bless you, each one. Let's kneel for prayer.